been at his feet a lot getting this message prepared, and it's important. It's important to me today. And I've been learning through the experience, no matter what, no matter what we think or what others think, the Lord wants to use each and every one of us, even with our imperfections, right? And Lord knows I got plenty of them. And also, I know that God's a God of order. And Pastor Lance has been preaching a couple messages over the last couple of weeks. He spoke about, last week, I believe, spoke about as Christians, we no longer have to be slaves to sin. We are now slaves to righteousness. And with that said, I have a scripture, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. And I've made this inclusive. I know it says I and me, but I made this inclusive today because I just want to read it. This is for all of us, and I'm making it a corporate thing. So Galatians 2:20 says, we, I've changed the we to we, I to we, and me to us. We have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer us who live, but Christ lives in us. And the life which I now live, come on now, the life which I now live in this flesh, we live by faith in the Son of God, right? Who loved us and gave himself for us. That ought to be a praise right there, man, I'm telling you. Hallelujah. The week before, Pastor Lance spoke about not having enough laborers for the harvest. And that's what I'm kind of, this is what the message focused on from the very beginning when you asked me, Pastor, when you asked me to do this. Of course, I felt insecure a little bit. I felt inadequate. I felt, unqualified. But in Matthew chapter 9, Jesus went about preaching and teaching to the multitudes from every village, every town. But he was only one person, right? And when he looked out at the multitudes, the Bible says Jesus was moved with compassion because he couldn't get to everyone in the world. You know, he could only get to who he could. And he looked at them and said, they're like sheep scattered with no shepherd, right? And a lot of times that's who we are. You know, sometimes even in my own life, man, I need to center back up, say, hey, Father, where'd I go wrong here lately? What's been going on in my life? What's going on in my heart? I need to get with you. I need to get to your feet. And but every one of us, he wants to use, every one of us. Doesn't matter how old or how long you've been doing this, he wants to use you. How young you are, it doesn't matter how young you are. God wants to use you. And the scripture from Matthew 13:14, got that up there. This came to mind. This was on my heart heavy because this is what it's all about right here. Verse 13 says, enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, right? I was on my way to destruction. I don't know about you guys. I was running with the devil for years. And there are many, many, many who go in by it. Verse 14 says, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few that find it. If you guys start thinking about that scripture, man, and you look at the world, you even look, maybe some in here ain't going to make it, you know. That means most people are not going to. Most people are not going to make it. That's how important this is. That's how important Jesus is. And what he did for us on that cross, died for our sins to redeem us from the sin of this world and the things that we get caught up in. So, I tell you today, God is looking for some laborers. And I believe he's going to find some right here in this room today. Amen? And this message, this is what the Spirit told me to title this message. You are enough. You guys are enough because he said so. That's it. Because he said so. You're enough, right? Can everybody just stand up right now? I feel like I just want to pray. So Pastor mentioned Kaneo. And I've been doing Kaneo, and we've been learning a lot, man. The Bible's, it's opening up. I'll put a plug in for him. If anybody really wants to start opening up the Word and getting more understanding of the Word, come check it out. But it's a great study of the Word, isn't it, Pastor? We've been learning some Hebrew words, and there's a word that came up last week, I think, or the week before, and it's kavanah, and it's a Hebrew word, and it means, just everybody, listen to this, to be sincere and intentional in directing your heart and your mind of the awareness and the sense of God's presence. And that's what I want to do today. I want you guys to think about this. And it's being attentive to the Spirit. Can everybody just close their eyes right now? Let's all become aware that it's a privilege. It's a privilege to be in the presence of God the Father. And I ask you, Father, right now to come in this place. I know you're here, Lord. I know I felt you. I felt you when I walked in the door today, Father. But I pray that you rest on each person in this place. And Father, I pray that you, this word that you've given penetrates the minds and the hearts of each person in the sound of my voice, Lord. I pray that we get sincere and intentional directing our hearts and mind at your awareness, at the awareness of you in this place today. And Father, I ask you to decrease any flesh that's in me, Lord, and use me today. Through me, Father, you speak this word, Lord. I can't do this without you, Lord. I can't do anything without you. Father, I ask you that this word goes forth in power and grace in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, this word is, go ahead and sit down. This word is, it's going to be encouraging, but it's also going to challenge you. It's going to challenge you a little bit. That's what I believe the Lord's saying today. Opening scripture, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 and 10. I like holding the Bible, man. I don't know what it is. I like holding on to the Bible. I guess I'm old school, at least for a bit. And I'm not going to set this up, but this is about the thorn in the flesh. And I believe God's saying this to every one of us today. These scriptures, what I'm about to say here is for everyone in this house. And Jesus is saying it today. And he said to us, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in the infirmities, in the reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, when we are weak, it says I am strong. We are strong when we're weak, right? God takes our weaknesses. He wants to hear. People need to hear about those things, man. They need to hear you. They need to hear what you got to say. They need to hear what God's done for you, you know? And I'm going to take this time right now to talk a little bit about my testimony. I'm not going to get too much into it, but there's a section of it that's important for this message, part of my testimony. But if, just in case some of you, I know most of you have heard my testimony, but in case some of you haven't, I was serving the wrong master for a long time in my life. And I was a PK. I was a preacher's kid. And I knew the word, but I had some hurts. Things happened to me at a young age, and I ran off from the church at 14 years old. And I lived for the devil for a lot of years. And I don't want to talk about that too much today, because I came to my end in a jail one day. I've been to jail a couple of different times, but I came to my end and asked God. I just cried out to him, and he must have knew at that time I was serious about it. And I remember sitting on a top bunk in a jail cell. And I remember, because the Lord just showed me, there was a beam of light coming through. Like, it might have been the sun, I don't know. But it was a beam of light coming through, hitting that bed. And I just began to speak in tongues. I began to cry out to God and say, Lord, I can't do this alone. I've been running and gunning and slinging and, you know, for a long time. Over 25 years, I was addicted to some form of drug from 14. You know, and the Lord just rested on me that day, and I know that I received the Holy Spirit that day. But see, I got out of the jail, and it wasn't 2 days later, I was right back in the mess, right? Think about that. I know that I received the Holy Spirit, but I chose to go back to where I was at because I was so hurt. I had so many hurts in my life, and I'd done so many things that I couldn't believe that God would even. And once I was free, I needed somebody to mentor me. I needed to be in a church, you know. And it wasn't a week later. Lord brought me to my end at that time, too. I just went to my mom's. I said, Mom, you know, are you going to church? Like, I need to go to church. That's the first thing I said. And we went to this little church in Danville, Illinois. Called Latter Rain Fellowship, and the Lord touched me that day. He delivered me that day, actually, from some of the spirits, some of the demons that I had, and it didn't happen somebody coming up screaming at me and hollering at me. Didn't happen like that. I literally don't even remember what the preacher preached that day, but man, I was so convicted at the end of that I ran. I ran to him and grabbed a hold of that preacher, and I just felt something coming off of me. I was getting light. Tears were just streaming down my face. I was sweating. Maybe that's how the demons came out. I don't know. Something happened that day, though. I know that. And I was never going to be the same after that. However, I still had some hurts in my life. I still had these things going on in my life. My computer shut off. It's okay. I had some hurts in my life, and yeah, I don't know what's going on right now. Sorry, guys. Fix that, man. It'll come on. But let me just tell my testimony. I can tell that. I had some hurts in my life. I had things that, in my spirit, that weren't. Man, I'm sorry. Threw me off, dude. Yeah, it threw me off. Sorry, guys. When I seen that, I'm like, oh no, because I got quite a bit. In my weakness, he's strong. Hallelujah. So. Yes. His grace is sufficient, right? And I don't know why that shut off on me, but the Lord knows. Yeah, I need to touch it every once in a while, don't I? I'm not used to this. This is my first time, guys. So I still had some brokenness, man. And even though I was delivered at that time. So I started going to church, and I was playing Mr. Christian for a long time. Just religiously. Knowing what I had to do, I was even reading my Bible every morning. I'd get up a half hour early on purpose to read my Bible and get with Jesus, you know what I'm saying? And I prayed, and I know that he was with me. I know that I was saved, and I would have went to heaven at that point. There's no doubt about it. However, I still had some hurts and brokenness in me that I wasn't trusting nobody with, and not even Jesus, and he knew everything about me. You know, think about that, what we do, guys. Think about that. We hold that stuff till the day we die a lot of times. Well, I did. For about 8.5 years, man, I played, you know, I was Christian, playing drums. I was at a church for about 5 years, and name it, claim it, blab it, grab it. You know, I had to get out of there, though. You know, I couldn't handle that. I was caught up in that for a long time. And all that was doing was making me feel bad because I didn't have enough faith, you know. So, but I got in a good church. I got in a Assemblies of God church, and the Lord was doing something in my life. But if I didn't trust him with my hurts and the things that happened while I was on drugs, and some of the things I did, the people I hurt, you know, I went through a couple of marriages. I went through a couple of marriages, and I messed my kids up during that time. But Lord, the Lord is awesome, though. I know that, man, because he's restored all that now. Look, you know, my kids love me. They call me all the time. They want to hang out with me, go play golf, or, you know, one of them saying, come up. Thank you. That's Jesus, though. That ain't me. But, yeah, I had those things that I wasn't releasing. And look, church, we can't be silent anymore. We can't be silent anymore about the things God's done in our lives. We got to tell somebody. And that's one of the reasons why during that 8.5 years, I wasn't really telling anybody that I got delivered. I wasn't getting up and talking to anybody. And I'm not saying get up in the pulpit, because this, man, I'd rather be back behind them drums, to be honest with you. Standing up here, but God called me. God's called each and every one of us to whatever that is. He's called you, though. And so we need to start telling people about it. And so I was living in that brokenness. I was still living in that brokenness, and I fell. I fell again. You know, it was 8.5 years into it. I fell. All because I wanted what I wanted. My fleshly desires wanted a woman. And I said, Lord, I ain't had a girl for 4 years. You know, like, I need a woman in my life. I need a companion in my life. So instead of waiting on the Lord and allowing me to get healed up, and, you know, what he wanted me to do and him bringing me a woman, I went out looking for one. And, oh, I found one. And that was not good, because it was somebody that I wanted, not who God wanted. And so I fell hard, and I ended up in Teen Challenge. I was almost dead. I was on oxygen when I came to Teen Challenge. And doing 3 or 4 breathing treatments a day. Man, what a God we serve. He's still in the healing business today, you guys. He's healing me. And he's continuing to do that. And it says his word is healing to the flesh, right? So the more we get in this, the more we get at his feet, guess what? He's going to heal us. He's going to begin to heal our bodies even. He's healing to our flesh, not just our emotions, not just our minds, but he's healing to the flesh as well. And I'm living proof of it standing up here right now. Amen. So I got done with Teen Challenge. And I tried to run. I wanted to go back home and start some discipleship program or something. But God called me to Teen Challenge, right? And so I remember leaving Teen Challenge just upset, because I'd went past the 12 months. I was almost 13 months in there, guys. And I remember leaving Teen Challenge and just saying, man, I can't do this anymore. I'm done. I'm going back home. Well, God closed every door. How many of you know when God closes the door, you can't open it? And when he opens the door, you can't close it, right? And, man, he slammed every door shut. I couldn't get a hold of my family. I couldn't get a hold of nobody. So I ended up in this seedy hotel, the one on 3rd Street. I don't even remember. But, you know, Teen Challenge usually takes you to the homeless shelter or to the bus stop. I ended up with $600 in my pocket at a hotel. And that hotel was exactly like what I came out of just a year before. Exactly what I came out of. God put me in the belly of the whale that day. That's what I see. He put me in the belly of the whale, and guess what? It was 3 days. It was 3 days in that place. And I was paying for the room, trying to find another place to go because I couldn't get hold of my family. I didn't know what to do. God shut every door. I remember even going to another rehab, trying to get in there, and he was a total jerk to me. Like, wow, you know? And he said, I need $300, and I'd already spent on the hotel because I'd been there for a couple of days and eating and stuff. I didn't have $300 in my pocket. So God set the whole thing up. And you guys from the bridge, I was in, it was the third day. It was a Sunday. Wow. I'm thinking about this now. God really did put me in the belly of the well. But this place smelled like smoke. It smelled terrible. Seeds popping. I know if anybody's been in the drug scene, you'll know what I'm talking about. There's holes all in the blankets. And it was crazy. It felt like nicotine was on my skin. You know? But I didn't smoke. I didn't want nothing to do with that. God had already set me free to a certain extent at that point. But I still wanted to do what I wanted to do, Pastor. I didn't want to listen to nobody. I wanted to do what I wanted to do. And what's so strange about it is Pastor Billy, at 11 o'clock that Sunday morning, Pastor Billy was on there, and he hit on everything that was going on in my life, a sermon. And then I turned it to another sermon. I don't even know who that was, but it was Sunday morning sermons, Channel 11, I still remember, in that hotel. Can't remember, Travel Gate or Travel Lodge? Yeah, whatever it is, that's where I was at. But so it's pretty distinctively remembering what happened. And they spoke to me. It spoke to me, and I just fell on that bed. I just fell out. Fell out and started crying out to God. I said, I don't know what I'm going to do, Lord. But I had so much stuff because I'd collected it all when I was in Teen Challenge. I was a pack rat. but I just broke it down and had one bag, and I was going to leave the next morning, right? I was going to take off. I was done with it. And it was crazy. I was laying across the bed. I said, Lord, you're going to have to be with me because I have no clue where I'm going. Do I walk to Danville? I don't, you know, I was like thinking all kinds of stuff. And before you knew it, Pastor Jeremy, like I got this phone call. And I don't know if you guys remember, if you're old enough, you will. These phones that have the little red light on top of them. Remember the old phones, the curly cords? And, well, that's what that hotel still has. And or still had then. 5 years ago or 4 years ago or whatever it was. And that light started going off and started ringing. I just had got done watching these sermons and crying out to the Lord, what am I going to do? And it says, Jeremy Touche is here to see you or something. He was in the lobby. I said, okay. I came out the room, and Pastor knew what room I was in, so he started walking that way. And I remember again this beam of light. It was the sun. It was shining on Pastor. And it was like when I opened that door, it felt like I came out of another realm of the spirit or something. It literally felt that way when I came out. So I believe it was because he had me hemmed up in there talking to me, and I didn't even, you know what I'm saying? And I didn't know. But I opened that door up, and whoa, Pastor Jeremy's standing there. He's standing there with the sun shining down on him. It was like, wow, like, almost felt angelic, you know, like I'm like, what is going on? You know what he said, the first thing he said? You been smoking? I said, no, I ain't been smoking. That was his first thing at me. And, he told me from this day forward, he said that after that, he said, man, you got to listen to me. I told you you were called to this place a long time ago. And he took me back and put me in the head intern room upstairs and just said, stay here, man, and please do what I ask you to do. So from that point, my obedience started to come. because I was rebellious. Here we go again. I was rebellious. I got to touch that every once. I got it. I was rebellious. So I was. So the Lord put me at his feet. And that's where we got to be, people. If there's something in our heart that God wants to touch, you youngsters, God's got you, man, but you got to get at his feet at a young age. Don't do what I did. Don't stay in the world so long. Don't, because it'll beat you down and it'll hurt you. It'll beat you down and it'll hurt you. Sorry. Oh, wow. Thank you, Lord. Anyway, this message just went away again. Father God, I thank you. I praise you, Lord. I got to pull it back up. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So anyway, I stayed at Teen Challenge, and I've been there ever since. And God's done his work. I haven't needed that thing anyway, but it's just there, you know what I'm saying? But right now, the Lord's just, and you know, I went on for a couple years at Teen Challenge, like, still broken, still had my issues. Miss Nancy knows, she knows. I still had a lot of issues in my life, and time and time again, it's like it came back around. And those hurts in my life, I end up getting in trouble at times with, you know, wanting to have this mentality where I had to prove myself by working. I had to prove myself to be the best. And that always got me in trouble because I was always running over people to do that. You know what I'm saying? Even people that I was working with. And the Lord had to touch me in that. But even just like a year and a half ago, just like about a year and a half ago is when I went home. I went home to see my mom, right? And my mom's a prayer warrior. She prayed me into the kingdom. She prayed me in. And that day was special because I didn't even know I was going home. I had no clue that I was going to be going home with her. But I ended up home that day. I even had something to do here, but I ended up home. And me and my mom spent about 4 hours together in the Word, praying and seeking the Lord's face. And that day I felt like God imparted something on me that day. He imparted something with me. And my mom's been praying for years, years and years. And, you know, I was still hurt, you know. And about a year and a half ago, when I came back, I said, when do we have prayer at church? I've been here almost 3 years. When do we have prayer? About 2.5 years or something. When do we have prayer at church? Oh, I don't know, Wednesday night. So I showed up Wednesday night. There was only like 2 or 3 people here, but man, from that day forward, I've been convicted to get in the presence of God. If it took me having a special time like it, you know, what, Thursday night or Tuesday, what is it? Wednesday and Friday, whatever it is, it has to be a night that I can come, because I wasn't getting in the presence of God on my own at that time. And the Lord began to just shake things loose. He began to shake things loose. He just brought it. He brought it all to a head, and everything in my life started to fall off. He started showing me these things that I had to do. He started showing me why. He started showing, and from that point on, I started getting in his presence on my own. I was getting in his presence, right? And the Lord has brought me to this place. I mean, I'm like, wow. Am I really up here talking to somebody? I'd rather be back there, you know, on the drums. But here I am. You know, the message, the total message is that all of us have something, right? We all have something that God's trying to heal in us. We all have something. And the Holy Spirit's here to do that today. I promise you he is. Because, this whatever I got on this thing here, it ain't showing up. None of it's coming up. So I just want to say this, that in my lifetime, I know God's healed me and took care of me, delivered me. Can you fix that, please? Because there's a lot that God's gave me in that, and some things I want to do. And he's here today for any infirmity that you might have. And I had definition to infirmities. And guess what? The definition to infirmities includes all of us. You know, there might be some perfect people in here, but I'm not perfect. Man, I got to have that computer. Yeah, I mean, I got to get used to touching it. Sorry. I don't got to have the computer, but forgive me. There we go. Why is it not coming up? Sorry, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. It's a computer. This is technology. So let me talk about technology. I can't even figure it out. So technology is separated us from God, including myself. My phone. You know, I found myself, before I started coming to praying and the Lord started doing some things in me, man, I'd be binge watching something about a car show or something. I'd binge watch that on a weekend. I'd take a whole weekend till Sunday sometimes. So I had to stop doing that. So and get on the phone. And I'd pull up drum reels, right, drummers and stuff. And before you knew it, they were sending me anything that I clicked on. And I was just like, oh, hour would go by. Wow, what am I doing? You know what I mean? So the Lord has had to break that off of me. I mean, that's literally what's happening right now. The enemy's using technology to get our attention, to distract us. And I understand we're gonna be doing some things. We're gonna go to movies and things like that. But he's using technologies and these algorithms to distract us. I need to pull it back up. The message. It's on. Sorry. Does he? Well, I'm about to do that, so I don't have any other choice here today. So, and I found out this, that our God is the truth, the way, and the life, right? He is the truth. And I found this out, that the truth is a person, and his name is Jesus, right? Amen. And see, I had another scripture up here. Can you pull a scripture up? So here we go. That'll help me. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart, right? It's in one note. So I began to learn how to desire myself in the Lord. Before, I was just trying to get the desires of my heart, right? Without delighting myself in the Lord. But I thought delighting yourself in the Lord was just showing up to church on Sunday, right? Showing up to church on Wednesday. Come on now. I thought that was delighting him. I'm saved. You know, I'm going to church. What else is there? So now, Lord, you give me the desires of my heart, right? Well, it didn't work that way. It didn't work that way. But more and more, I'm learning how to delight myself in the Lord, and that's getting on my knees, right? Praying, 1963. Praying. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord. This is great. You know, I'm not a bit nervous. You know, I'm just waiting to see what the Lord wants to do here, because I did have a message, and I believe it was straight from the Lord, and hopefully we can pull it up for the ending of it, because it's pretty good, I think. It's from him. You know what I'm saying? So I began to delight myself in the Lord and began to pray. I began to get to know him better, because look, We have friends, right? But how do we get friends? We learn who they are, right? We talk to them. We get with them. We don't just show up to church and say, Lord, bless me. Let me get this feeling. I need a feeling today, Lord. It's not about how you feel. It's about what you're doing with him, man. Because he loves you, and he wants to set you free. And that's where I'm going with this today. So whatever's ailing you and whatever's in your heart, whatever's in your mind that's holding you back from telling somebody about Jesus, God wants to set you free. God wants to set you free. And yes, it is a process. And I'm living that process. But guess what? You got to stay full of the Spirit. You got to keep yourself full, because when you get out there handing seed out, you're handing seed out and you're emptying your bag, guess what? God works on your overflow. When you're overflowing, you're affecting people, right? You're affecting others. But if your bag is half empty, what are you doing? You're helping yourself, but you're not helping anybody else. And that's what this message is all about today. Can you go to the next scripture? I have no clue where I'm even at or what I'm doing. So I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. And to the next one. Because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. Amen. And that's what it's about. As long as I live, man, from here on out, I'm going to be calling upon him. Because I know that I know that I know that without being in his presence, without setting my phone down once in a while, without turning the TV off and getting on my knees, saying, Lord, I need you right now. And I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm distracting myself. It's distracting me from what you have for me. What he has for you is amazing. It's amazing. It's beyond any TV show. It's beyond any reel you can watch. It's beyond anything in your life. Amen. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you, right? Amen. Hallelujah. That's what he's saying today, guys. Yeah, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things. And I'm just gonna talk a little bit about people in the Bible that thought they weren't enough, right? Think about this. Abraham and Sarah thought they were too old, right? You're never too old. All of y'all, never too old. Jeremiah thought he was too young, right? Jeremiah thought he was too young. Kids, you're never too young to do what God's asked you to do. And God does ask young people, old people, middle-aged people, I don't care who they are, to do something. If we're listening. If we're not listening, though, guess what? We don't hear him. And he's been yelling at us for a long time. But guess what? We've kept shutting him off and shutting him off. Shutting him off. And before you know it, it's like, Stephen. Can't hear him. So how do you know? How do you know what direction to go? So you're pulling from everything else in life. You're trying to get satisfied here. You're trying to get satisfied there. You think this or that's going to do it, right? I got a video for someone who thought she wasn't enough, and she had to sneak up. She had to sneak up on Jesus to get healed, and she knew she was going to get healed. Can we just watch that video? Can we turn it on? We turn the lights out. Oh, no. It's not me. Thank you.
thread. One thread, just the edge, only a thread.
You! I know you! Get away from him!
Stop it, please!
Rabbi Yussi! Rabbi Yussi! This woman bleeds. She is unclean. We removed her.
Please, please, I promise I won't touch him. I just need...
Oh, woman, please, we can help you, but not now.
Sorry. Try tomorrow.
Oh, please, just a moment. Just a
What's on? Who touched me?
Everybody back.
I asked the question. Who touched me?
Master, the crowds are pressing in all around you like this, and you're asking who touched you? They all have.
Someone touched me.
I felt that power went out of me.
Whoever touched me, come forward.
Teacher.
It was me. Just the fringe of your garment, only the edge. I promise, you are not unclean.
Why my garment?
I'm sorry. I know I shouldn't have asked. But if you touched me, it would make you ritually unclean according to the law. I was sick. I was sick for 12 years. I bled and no one could stop it. But I believed if I could just touch a piece of your garment. And I was right. Thank you.
Who told you I could heal?
A man from the pool. And he was right. The blood has ceased.
My daughter.
I'm no one's daughter anymore.
Look up. Yes, you are. Daughter. It wasn't my piece of clothing that healed you.
But it was instant. I felt it right away.
I know. But it wasn't this. It was your faith.
Teacher, she was bleeding so long. We can take her.
She is clean. You have blessed me today. And I know. My daughter, I know it has been a fight for you for so long. You must be exhausted. Go now in peace. Your faith has made you well. I wish I could stay here longer, but I have business to attend to. Someone else has faith like yours. But I'm so glad that we found each other.
So glad I found the Lord. How about you? He called her daughter, right? He's calling each and every one of you son and daughter today. And I don't know what he's got right now because my message got completely erased. I had some more, but I'm telling you, God's got something right now. And can everybody just stand up? Can you play some music? Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for being in this place. Holy Spirit, move in this place today. Move in the hearts and minds of people who are hurt. People who are hurt and need you today. And God's saying, we got to get desperate like she got desperate to touch him. We have to be desperate. Everyone in this place that's desperate to see Jesus and to be at his feet, come forward, please, today. Just come up here. Pastors, can you come forward? If there's anybody desperate in this place today and wants his presence and wants a filling, wants to be filled back up with whatever's going on in your life, come down here today because he's in the altar today. The Holy Spirit's right here waiting on you.